Welcome back! I'm so glad you have joined us for the fourth episode of Exploring Your Future. I can't wait to get started. Today, we have all sorts of exciting things planned. I am standing next to my kayak. I love to kayak, especially if the river has lots of rapids and flows very fast. Today, in our Bible story, we're going to learn about a very important river and how it led to the fall of Babylon. But before we get started, let's join Amy and Michael as they sing Trust and Obey, followed by our theme song. About a backpacking adventure that she went on.
Being fit for your backpacking journey is vital. If you're out of shape, you will struggle a lot more. You will get tired easily and will not have the endurance required for the trip. The food and water you take are essential too. If you don't take good food that fuels your energy and not enough water, you'll be sorry. Believe me, I know. On the last backpacking trip I did with my husband and some friends to Buckskin Gulch in Utah, I learned some valuable lessons that I will never forget. I want to share them with you so you don't make the same mistakes I did. First lesson, you have to take enough water with you. Water is even more essential than food. If you don't, you can dehydrate and collapse. And this is the first mistake I made. I almost collapsed at the end of our journey because I was dehydrated. Second lesson, you have to be fit to have endurance. The hike in this place tested our endurance to the uttermost. I eventually made it, but my whole body was so sore I could barely move or even walk. Third lesson, the second part of our journey included some desert. When you have to hike through the desert, you have to wake up very early in the morning so you get the early sun. We woke up late, we were tired from the first half of our trip, and by the time we were on our way, the sun was way high and the heat was pretty bad. There was a time I thought I would die right there in that desert. Here is an important lesson for us. We need to be in good health to function well. If we're sick or tired most of the time, we cannot be active in helping people around us. We will not have the energy to work and develop the abilities that God has given us either. And one more thing, if we're not in good health, we can't think clearly. A clear mind is crucial for connecting with God and understand when He speaks to us. When Jesus designed our body, He provided the elements necessary to keep this amazing machine running well. These elements are the foundation of a healthy lifestyle. Nutrition. God provided a plant-based diet in Eden. Science confirms that a diet rich in fruit, vegetables, nuts, legumes, and grains are vital for our body. I've heard that we are what we eat. This is true. Not only what you eat affects your body in general, but it affects the mind too. There are foods that will make you more irritable and hyper. Exercise. Any type of active work outside is good for us. Walking is an excellent exercise. Working in the garden gives you both useful labor and exercise. Water. We need to drink enough water daily. 6 to 8 cups of water are recommended. If it's hot and you sweat a lot more, you will need more water. Sunshine. We need sunshine. Sunlight helps our body make vitamin D, which is vital for our health. When our vitamin D level is low, we are weak and tired. Sometimes we have to take a supplement of vitamin D, especially during winter when we don't get much sunlight. Temperance. Well, temperance is choosing to be balanced. In other words, we don't eat too much of what is good and we avoid that which is bad. For instance, overeating causes fog in your mind. You can't think very clear and thoroughly when your tummy is way too full. The poor brain has to send a lot of its energy to help the poor stomach deal with an overflow of food. Remember, all extremes are harmful, so let's be balanced. Air. Fresh air is important for our lungs. The air you breathe in a wooded area is not the same as the air you breathe in the city. Trees help to clean the air by absorbing pollutants and releasing oxygen into the air. So when you are out in nature, you get the benefit of breathing clean air. If you live in the city, try going to a park with lots of trees. You still can get some benefits. Remember, we need to open our windows regularly to let the fresh air in. Rest. We get our rest when we go to sleep. Adults need approximately 7 to 9 hours of sleep, and children need about 10 hours. Our body heals and recovers while we sleep, so we need to get the rest we need. Trust in God. God is the author of life. He is the one who gives us life. He knows the right ingredients for our happiness and what's best for us. As we spend time with Him, we'll get to know Him and trust Him more and more. If we trust completely in God's wisdom, He will guide our lives in the right direction. So, we're adding an essential item to our character backpack, a healthy lifestyle. Let's get fit to work and accomplish great things for our best friend, Jesus.
Some people who are vegetarians get sick too. Why? Aren't they supposed to be healthier than the ones who eat just about anything? Well, there are a few explanations for this phenomenon. First, not everybody who claims to be a vegetarian is really following a healthy lifestyle. For instance, some people may not eat meat, but eat a lot of sugary and processed foods and never exercise. Second, some people tend to have a low immune system, so if they catch a disease, they can get pretty sick. It is important to keep our immune system strong. Refined sugar in processed foods is a bomb to our little soldiers that fight the enemy of disease. Think about it. A fruit will give you something sweet and tasty to eat, plus fiber and vitamins that your body needs. A donut will give you something sweet and tasty too, but no fiber or vitamins and lots of calories that your body does not need. Third, some people tend to have a strong immune system so that they can eat whatever, and it seems that it does not affect them, and they're fine and healthy. That is because we cannot see what's going on inside the body. When the laws of health are broken over time, people who used to be pretty strong and healthy come down with health issues. Fourth, even if we are doing the best we can in being healthy, there are some other pollutants in our world that can affect our health. For example, nowadays, our foods are heavily sprayed with chemicals. When my great-grandfather lived, people used to grow their own food free of chemicals. This is a good reason to start growing a garden. Fifth, disease and death are part of our world. These are some reasons we desire Jesus' kingdom to come soon. In His new world, there will be no more sickness and death. There is a promise found in Proverbs 16:20. He who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Even though we cannot explain every single case of why people who seem to be healthy get sick, this promise reminds us that if we obey the instructions we receive, we will find blessings. And if we trust God with the results, we will be happy. We do our part. God does His.
Thank you, Milka. What an exciting adventure. And now, kids, it's time to join Tina in Daniel 4. Grab your Bibles.
They were drunk with alcohol, praising gods who knew nothing.
laughing the empty laughter of those who lack the real joy our loving Heavenly Father offers. The city of Babylon was surrounded by the combined armies of the Medes and Persians. The king upon his throne was unconcerned. He was surrounded by walls so wide that multiple chariots could ride side by side on its top. The city had so much food in store that he could waste food and feasting with 1,000 of his leaders in the city. The river Euphrates ran through the city, so they had water for all their needs. Do you think he would have been very concerned, however, if he knew the prophecy given in the Bible over 100 years before that time, stating exactly how Babylon would fall? The prophecy even named the man who would take over Babylon before he was born or even had a name. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, come and join us in our lesson. We want to learn more about you. We want to open our minds and have understanding. We ask that you'll speak to us through the power of your Holy Spirit. Work your will within our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So Cyrus, it says in Isaiah 45:1, thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held to subdue nations before him and loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors so that the gates will not be shut. So, according to this prophecy, who would take over Babylon? That's right, Cyrus would. Guess who was outside the walls of Babylon leading the Medes and Persians? A man named Cyrus. Belshazzar should have trembled and humbled his heart before God. But no, he rebelled against him. He wanted to do what he wanted to do. Who was he really choosing to lead him? That's right, Satan. Jesus said in Matthew 12:30, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Who is a better leader, Jesus or Satan? Jesus is a gentle leader. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Matthew 11:29. There is no rest for us unless we let Jesus lead us. Satan is a cruel leader. There is no rest or peace with him. In fact, God wants to bless his people, but he warns his people that if they reject him, a yoke of iron will be put around their neck. He outlines that right in Deuteronomy 28:48, when he's talking about the blessings of following him or the curses of not following him. Satan does not lead gently with his yoke of iron. Of course, these yokes are just symbols to help us understand what kind of leaders Jesus and Satan are. God tells us in Hosea 11:4, I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love I was to them, as those who take the yoke from their neck. What yoke? Do you think that is Satan's hard yoke of iron he wants to take off our necks? Jesus loves us. Satan hates us. Jesus loves us so much, though, that he will let us choose who we want to have lead us, even though he purchased us with his own blood. Belshazzar had chosen to follow his own way instead of God's way, doing what he wanted to do instead of what God wanted him to do. He clearly raised himself up against God when he so boldly asked for the holy, sacred vessels from the temple of God to be brought so he and his friends could drink alcohol from them. His grandfather had taken the golden vessels from the temple when he overtook Jerusalem. Remember when he captured Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? He took those things from the temple. And now Belshazzar was using them to worship idols and drink alcohol from. Mixing the sacred and holy with common and unclean is an abomination to God. So while they are dishonoring God, having no fear or respect for him, suddenly they see them
they see something that fills them with terror. A hand, not bloody, but just a hand, begins to slowly write words on the wall that gleamed like fire. Suddenly, they felt like they were standing at the judgment bar of God, whose power they had justified. Guilty fear panicked them as they looked on. Especially was the king frightened who had led out in this rebellion against God. He knew the story of his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar, who had been made like a beast for 7 years. When God strikes fear in the heart of someone that is guilty, they cannot hide the intensity of it. His knees wobbled so badly they hit against one another. After the hand wrote the words, it disappeared. But the words still stood gleaming on the wall. In vain, the king tries to read what it says. In a wild cry, he calls for his wise men, but to no avail. Once again, they are unable to help. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? 1 Corinthians 1:20. The queen mother counsels him to call in Daniel. She remembers all about Daniel. So Daniel comes in and is offered great rewards to interpret the writing on the wall. He has no interest in the rewards, though, but he states that he will interpret the writing for the king. He starts, though, by reminding Belshazzar of the experience of his grandfather, King Nebuchadnezzar. Let's read it in Daniel 5:18-23. Daniel 5:18-23. O King, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar your father a kingdom in majesty, glory, and honor. And because of the majesty that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whomever he wished, he executed. Whomever he wished, he kept alive. Whomever he wished, he set up. And whomever he wished, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. Then he was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men, and appoints over it whomever he chooses. But you, his son Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this, and you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your lords, your wives, and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know, and the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways you have not glorified. Why do you think God gives us stories like these? So we can learn from their experiences. In life, we learn from instruction, from experience, or from other people's experiences. The Bible instructs us and gives us examples of different people's choices and the experiences that resulted. Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." If I tell my child not to touch the stove, they can learn from my instruction and stay happy and well, or they can learn from experience. Oh, but experience can be a cruel teacher. Belshazzar did what was right in his own eyes. Did that make him a fool? Yes, he would not learn from his grandfather's experience, so he learned from his own. How sad. So let's read the interpretation. Daniel 5:25-28. And this is the inscription that was written, "Many, many tekel upharsin." This is the interpretation of each word, many. God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel. You have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Wow. Sure enough, that very night, Belshazzar was slain, and Darius the Mede became king. So while they had been drinking wine out of God's holy vessels and praising their gods that knew nothing, the vast army of the Medes and Persians came right into the city. How did they do that? Just as the Bible had predicted, the double doors were left open and the gates were not shut. Cyrus had dug a ditch, changing the way the river Euphrates flowed. So now instead of flowing through the city, the water went around it. The gates where the river flowed into the city had been left open, so they just went right through the riverbed and into the city. They were completely taken over before they even knew it. Simply said, Babylon was careless. They were careless when they should have been vigilant. The Bible says that in these days that we are living in, some people will be careless. Revelation 3 describes a people who are satisfied with just a little bit of God. He says they are not cold or hot, but lukewarm. They think that if they have a little bit of God in their lives, they're okay. It actually represents the church of Laodicea and represents those that claim Jesus today. We'll study that church when we get to Revelation. Do you know the story of the 10 virgins? 5 were prepared to meet the bridegroom that represented Jesus, and 5 were careless and got left out. 5 had oil in their lamps. That represents the Holy Spirit. And 5 only had a little oil. How important that we be vigilant, studying our Bibles and getting to know God as our Savior and friend. Fearing God and giving glory to Him. God promises that if we search for Him with all our hearts, we will find Him. Jeremiah 29:13. Let's not be careless when vigilance is so needed. Let's learn from instruction, not from experience. Jesus is the bridegroom, and He is soon to come and get His people and take us to heaven. This parable Jesus told is to help us be vigilant. We must seek to be more and more emptied of self so we can be filled more and more with His Holy Spirit. Well, Daniel gives us an example of someone who wasn't satisfied with just a little bit of God in his spirit. He wanted a deeper experience, like I hope you do. He was careful in his vigilance to let God lead him in every way, so much so that when some leaders in the kingdom of Medo-Persia tried to get him in trouble for doing anything they could find nothing. Try as they might, they could not find a single instance where he had swerved from complete integrity, doing the right thing every time. King Darius had put him as one of 3 governors over 120 satraps. Daniel distinguished himself so well because of the excellent spirit that was in him, that the king thought to put him over the whole realm. Who gave Daniel that excellent spirit? God did. It was His own Holy Spirit living in Daniel. Do you know that Jesus offers us that spirit too? Luke 11:13 likens it to a gift. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Having God's Holy Spirit in us changes us. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Is it surprising that the king would want someone like that to be in charge of everything for him? Holding Jesus' hand and submitting our will to Him brings wonderful things into our life and blesses us like it did Daniel. People can trust us like the king trusted Daniel. Daniel's enemies conspired together how to get rid of Daniel. They were jealous of him. In talking, they realized it would be useless. They could find nothing that Daniel would do wrong to accuse him to the king. So then they had an idea. If they couldn't get Daniel in trouble for doing what was right, maybe they could get him in trouble for doing what was right. If they couldn't get him in trouble for doing what was wrong, then maybe they could get him in trouble for doing right. So, they would have the king make a decree that no one should pray to any god but to the king for 30 days, or they would be thrown into the lion's den. That would flatter the king, and he wouldn't even think of Daniel. If they could get him to sign the decree with his signet ring, signing it into the law of the Medes and Persians that couldn't be changed, then even the king wouldn't be able to save Daniel from the lions. The Medo-Persian kings had a signet ring, and they would use it like a stamp to sign things into law. Satisfied with their crafty plan, they wrote it up and took the decree to the king. Sure enough, with their flatteries, the king signed the decree right into law. Daniel had a custom. He had always gone to his window to pray, probably facing Jerusalem, as any faithful Israelite would do. You see, Solomon had prayed a blessing on anyone turning their face toward the temple to pray when he dedicated the temple of God. They knew God had heard that prayer too, because a thick cloud had filled the sanctuary so much when that prayer was offered that the priests couldn't even minister there. Daniel faithfully prayed 3 times a day. Daniel had a decision to make. What would you do if you were Daniel? Should he just go into his closet and pray so as not to offend? He could still worship his God, right? Daniel could have done that, but he had a habit of constantly caring about God's honor. He was God's faithful ambassador in a heathen land. He would not worship the king, and he would not even have it appear that anything could stand between him and his God. One of the fruits of the Spirit is faithfulness. Was Daniel faithful? Yes. An excellent spirit was found in him. Have you ever heard the saying, "He's as faithful as a needle to the pole"? A compass is a compass because the needle in it always faces north. No matter where you turn it, it will always go toward the north. That is faithfulness, isn't it? Interestingly, God's throne is in the north. Isaiah 14 describes Satan as wanting to exalt his throne above the Most High God. And verse 13 says, on the farthest sides of the north. Just like a compass always points north, if Jesus is living in us with his spirit, he will be directing our hearts to God, our true north. God has always had a people willing to stand for right though the heavens fall. Hebrews 11 talks about those willing to be tortured, even killed, not accepting deliverance if it meant being unfaithful to their God. You may feel you are too weak. Maybe you're afraid you wouldn't have prayed in the window. 2 Corinthians 12:9 encourages you by saying, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Daniel didn't get that strong overnight. It was by continual faithfulness in the little things that he was able to be faithful in the big things. Satan knows that. That is why he tries so hard to get us on the little things. He tempts us by saying, "It isn't really a salvation issue," or "It's just such a small thing, no one will know or care." Jesus says, "He who is faithful in least, and that which is least is faithful also in much." If we love Jesus truly, truly love him, we won't try to just see how much we can get by with and still be saved. Nothing will seem too good for our Jesus. When Daniel knew that the decree had been signed, he went home and prayed. He needed prayer desperately right now. He went to his window, as was his custom, and prayed. His enemy saw him, not just once, but 3 times praying to his God. The next morning, they go to the king and remind him of the law that he had just signed. He remembers it. Then they tell the king that Daniel had disregarded his law and even inflated it to seem like Daniel is not faithful to the king. The king immediately realizes the plot that was laid for his faithful friend. Mad at himself for falling into the trap they had laid for his friend, he works all day to deliver Daniel. At the end of the day, those accusers go to the king to force him to throw Daniel into the den of lions. They remind him, the law of the Medes and Persians cannot be changed. The king gives the command, and Daniel is cast into the den of lions. Just before he is cast into the lions, the king shows amazing faith in the God of heaven, the God of Daniel. He says, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Daniel 6:16. The stone closes off the entrance, and it is sealed. Daniel is in the den of lions. The king goes back to his palace, but he will not eat. He will not have music played. He does not sleep all night. Early in the morning, he hastens back to the den of lions. With lamenting in his voice, he calls to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Daniel answered, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, so they have not hurt me. Daniel 6:21 and 22. Quickly they brought Daniel out of the lion's den, and no injury was found on him at all. Some people would say, those lions weren't hungry. Oh, but they were. The king gave the command to throw those accusers of Daniel and even their families into the den of lions. The Bible says the lions broke their bones before they even landed in the den. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 says, I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Daniel chose life. Belshazzar chose death. Daniel chose the unseen in heaven by faith. Belshazzar chose the seen in this world. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's be like Daniel, trusting God to make a way of escape that we might be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Let's keep looking to Jesus and our eternal reward. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we do look to you. You are what makes life worth living. And Lord, if we could put together the perfect God, you way surpass those even of our imagination. Lord, we bow before you. We choose you. And we ask that you will put that excellent spirit of Daniel that you put in him, that you'll put your spirit, that same spirit within us. Please, Lord, take away us and put in you, we pray, that we might be faithful in every circumstance of life. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
It's so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the Savior, Lord.
Jesus. How about you? Thank you so much for joining us today. We'll see you next time.